Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they're kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, as someone who enjoys reviewing game tape the way you do, this one must have been like sitting down at a buffet table with so much to digest there.
Yeah, from both sides of the ball as well, because as good as Mike Yurcich did as an offensive coordinator, I think that Derek Mason, the Auburn defensive coordinator, really shocked me with their game plan as far as what they did and didn't do. And I was surprised, not only their game plan, but they didn't adjust it at any point.
Well, it was an interesting game in a lot of ways. We're going to spend two segments examining everything that went on. Let's start with this, though. Let's start with Sean Clifford, which is where it seems like everybody starts, with the quarterback. Yeah. And Sean has had his critics, and I know you've used expressions like, okay, he is what he is, we know what we've got there. But T. Frank, 28 for 32, 280 yards. Was this a breakthrough game for Clifford? How do you evaluate his performance?
It certainly felt like it to a certain degree, because there were still no deep completions, which is something we've talked about on this show a couple of times. And truthfully, there weren't any to be had. So he had the one pass interference call on Jahan Dotson at the end of the game that was a critical game-defining play for him, which was a good decision to throw that ball. So I'm not saying that there weren't any deep passes of relevance, but there were no deep completions where he put the ball on a spot where only the receiver could get it. But truthfully, Auburn was playing such soft coverage that it was like the Ball State game where there weren't a ton of those opportunities to be had. And unlike Ball State, you're not going to just get yards because Jahan Dotson got open. This was not going to be that type of game. They're better players in the secondary even than what Wisconsin had. So there weren't going to be a ton of those, but everything else as far as completions, decision-making, his ability to step up in the pocket and look downfield and keep his composure and throw accurate balls on the move, there were really only two passes that he threw that I thought were on the poorer side. One of them was an incompletion. The other one, Jahan Dotson went up and made a Sports Center top 10 play on. So, you know, Sean Clifford played the best game of his Penn State career, and that's without a doubt. Now, that is a great start. That is a great start, and you would hope that it is for him if you're a Penn State fan, turning the corner, because a lot of what he did was a continuation of what he had done in the first two games of, you know, in the situations where he's under pressure, he made the right decision. It's just he was more accurate with the football this time. He didn't miss any of those easy throws, and he had more poise from a fundamental standpoint in the pocket. It's a huge thing. I mean, he hit all the throws he needed to. He played with good timing. So, yes, I always hesitate to say breakthrough game, because there were things that Auburn wasn't doing that every other team has done. So I just don't know if that had a factor in the game. But you would hope so if you're a Penn State football fan. And it certainly did feel like that in the moment.
Help me out here, T. Frank. Could you explain to us what exactly Auburn was doing on defense? Because there seemed to be guys running open. There were times when they were sending only three people at the quarterback, where Sean Clifford had all kinds of time. What was their thinking? What was the strategy on that side of the ball?
I described it as defensive hubris at one point, because they seemed to think that they were going to get pressure with just four down linemen. And like you said, at times three, they wanted to make Sean Clifford play and dink and dunk is the way down the field like they saw Ball State do. And they thought they could control the game with their defensive line. Now, in the running game, they were correct. They were able to corral the Penn State rushing attack. But what they didn't account for was their defensive line could not get pressure on Sean Clifford for the most part. And this is one thing that has happened all season. This is what I've been alluding to. Every team has used defensive line stunts, looping players from the edge to the interior or vice versa to get free rushers at the quarterback, and Penn State has struggled to pick them up. The offensive line has struggled to either athletically get there or communicate that things were happening after the snap. Auburn didn't do it once. Not once. And there are some like natural stunts where you get out of your pass rushing lane and maybe you fall off into somebody else's, but there were no planned maneuvers along the defensive line. They thought they were just going to rush straight four. And when Sean Clifford got a clean pocket, he took advantage of it. And they were playing such soft coverage. They were just giving yards to Jahan Dotson underneath and to Parker Washington. And Penn State, like in the Ball State game, they went on drives of 14 plays, 9 plays, 9 plays, 7. They were able to get the yards that were there and make plays. And Sean Clifford, above and beyond those, found windows down the field, like the Jahan Dotson touchdown and some of the other big plays that he made in the passing game. Now, for the busted coverages, there's a couple of different reasons that happened, but for the most part, that was mental errors by the defense where the linebackers and safeties were not communicating properly with the corners, and there were just guys wide open. But a lot of that comes down to the use of tempo and the use of formations that they had not used in the past, and Auburn simply was not ready for it. So Auburn's game plan, to me, was a huge question mark going into that game in the second half, and they didn't adjust it. I was amazed that they did that.
And I said to you, Frank, as a layperson watching the first couple games, we talked about it on this show, we talked about it on our shows with the other guys. If you're a defense game plan against this Penn State offense, you got to stunt. You got to keep doing that until Penn State shows they can stop it. Why in the world would Auburn not do that after watching the first two game tapes?
I don't know. And I watched their film against Akron. They did it against Akron. They did it early in the season. Now, some of that was run stunting where they were against the run. They were slanting one way or the other, jumping over a gap to try and disrupt the running game. And there was a little bit of that in this game, but they simply, the only explanation I have, Jim, is they simply believed they were better. And this is one thing that I said coming into this game is if I were Auburn, I would try and play Penn State straight up. I would try and control the game with four, and I would actively get after the quarterback with those four defenders. Now, they did half of that, but they just left the biggest red flag for the Penn State offensive line on the table and decided not to use it. Now, I don't know if that's because they were afraid of Sean Clifford, the scrambler, the quarterback to get out and run in space, but I don't know why. Because, you know, if you're playing a zone defense, everyone's eyes are on the quarterback. That's the point. And if you are stunting and you are flushing him out of the pocket, then you have players in the flat already there to rally and tackle. It's not like they were playing man coverage where everyone's back is to the quarterback. And that's another thing with this Auburn defense is they, under Gus Malzahn, previously were a very man-heavy team. So they've got a lot of really good athletes that are good at sticking with receivers in man coverage down the field, and they're playing a lot more zone now. And I think part of this is that transition with that talent to a new scheme where they were not playing their zones and playing with anticipation the way that you would see a zone team do because they're new to it. But as far as why they didn't do that, I don't know. I don't know. they got 60% of the way there and they just were like, "Nah, it's good enough."
That's why we have you on here, T. Frank, to answer those questions with, I don't know.
Well, sometimes the best thing is to admit when you see something, you don't get it. Just say, like, I don't get it. I don't know why they wouldn't do the obvious thing.
Considering Sean Clifford went 28 for 32 and it felt like they didn't come close to reaching him. Perhaps you should be the new Auburn defensive coordinator. Before we get into detail on Mike Yurcich and the things that he did, just in general, one concern that came out of this, and I want to know if it was Auburn's defense, it felt like Penn State's running game was struggling. Was that because of what Penn State was doing or because what Auburn was doing?
It's a little column A, a little column B. And I say that because Penn State has struggled to consistently open holes for the run game in two games against Power 5 opponents this year. Now, they face two very, very good defensive fronts. And Auburn is very, very good up front at stopping the run. Number 50, I apologize, I don't remember his name, but number 50, the nose tackle, he was a guy I was watching coming into this game because he was very active, physical, disruptor on the interior. Quickness for a nose tackle like that is really impressive. And he didn't look to me like he was had weight for the sake of having weight. Now, Fish McWilliams, number 90, and I've followed his career for a while, doing some PFF games of UAB. He's a fun player. He's 6'1", 350. But he's strong, he's fast for his size, and he moves people in the pocket. And those guys just controlled the game. The defensive line controlled the game. The defensive end, number 99, I'm blanking on everybody's name right now. I've already moved on to Villanova.
99 is T.D. Moultrie.
T.D. Moultrie. And yeah, T.D. Moultrie. Thank you.
And the other one was that number 50 you said, Marcus Harris?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Those guys were really good at stopping the run. I mean, Moultrie ran down Jahan Dotson on that end around. And he multiple times strung out those lateral moves in Penn State's trick play bag, or you know, the end around. I don't know that jet sweeps and end arounds are trick plays anymore. I think they're a staple now in most football, even in the NFL. But when you have smart, active defenders that don't over pursue, they are very tough to execute. And Penn State was counting on that. And all night, the Auburn defensive front, for as little as they did in the past game, they were dominant. They were the second best unit on the field when it came to their run defense. So, yeah, Penn State has struggled to move people off the ball. I don't think they have the horses on the interior, especially, to do that. And, you know, Caden Wallace, at least for his part, has struggled to maintain his blocks on the edge. So the guys that can do it aren't doing it very well, and the guys that aren't really good at doing it are who they look like they are at this point.
All right, very good, T. Frank. In segment number two, we're going to dive deeper into the things that Mike Yurcich did. You want to stay tuned for that.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.